Praise the Lord. It is so good to be here, and the crowd is bigger than I remembered. I'm telling you, I want to be a blessing. I don't know, when you're a preacher, and you, well, this preacher, I don't know how everybody feels. You feel a little like when you're up here and all these hundreds out here, you feel like you need to flip it around and listen instead of talk. Anybody ever feel that way?
Yes.
So I'm going to do my part. I doubt if anybody's going to volunteer to take my place right now. So I'm going to turn in here. I do appreciate the meeting. And when you say that, words sometimes just don't get the job done. But fellowship and preaching and worship has kept me alive. And I don't say that, you know, we just say that with a shrug sometimes, but it's really real. And we know that, or we wouldn't be here. Praise the Lord. Up here today, and I don't think I'm going to set the tone for the meeting, I hope. But we are going to open the gate.
Yeah,
and I do feel good about the fact that so many other preachers are going to follow me. If you'll hang in here, and if you're leaving when I get done, God bless you. So I can say, God, get some CDs or something on your way out the door. But I believe the Lord's going to meet us here, don't you? I hate to go to every meeting just by on a thread. How many knows what I'm talking about? Just get there and say, if God don't help me this year. You know, I hate to do that every year, but so far I'm batting a pretty high average on that. You know? But thank God for the help we get at a meeting. And you'd be surprised what one word, one handshake, one nod, one smile. Really, you'd be surprised sometimes. Now, if you're not hungry, it's kind of like somebody makes a big meal. Now, me, I'm always hungry. I don't know how y'all are, but I can tire in on it, and I can eat anything but bananas. And I just wanted to put that in there in case you invite me for dinner anytime soon. Just leave the bananas out of the pudding, okay? But you get folks that aren't hungry, don't have an appetite. I believe we can get something from the Lord here today, don't you? How many is hungry? How many likes bananas? I'm going to apologize for starting out like this, but Genesis, we're going to go to the book of Genesis, chapter number 19. I won't be long. You can take anything for a little while, can't you? This text came on my mind, on my heart, early on when they asked me to do this year, and I've had it in the back of my mind, and I've dealt with it. It's dealt with me all year, just several months, and as the year progressed, it got heavier, and I just a verse and a thought that. And I'm going to preach this in the first person. I mean, knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And I think I need to say that because all you great preachers, you probably don't even need this sermon. So I'm going to preach it in the first person, a warning that I received myself that has stirred me, and so I'm going to share it with you this morning. The 19th chapter of Genesis and verse number 12. And I'll try to, if the Lord be so gracious to use us this morning. And we all are familiar with this story, with this history of Lot. And I'm going to read it to us this morning and just pull out the part that God stirred me with, okay? The men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law, thy sons and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. How many, and I'll stay with me, just let me finish the text here in just a minute. But how many feels that day of doom? Well, I know we've had a new inauguration, praise the Lord, and a little, you know, when you're starving for a ray of hope, anything will put you to shouting. But how many feels a divine warning? This place is going up in smoke. Do y'all feel that? How many of my ministry friends here this morning feels that dreaded burden, we're running out of time? Lot got the message. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of our Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. Now watch this right here. So Lot went out, spake to his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Whoa. Now, and I'm going to let you sit down. I'm going to tell you, this sermon came on me before I read this text. You say, what? Yeah. And then I was directed to this text. This message came on me with all the advantages we have, with the divine mandate that we have, and our understanding of what's coming upon this world. Why do my words have so little effect? That's what I was asking myself. Amen. Now I know, stay with me, it won't take long. But I want to preach on something here today. He seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. I want to preach on the tragedy of lost influence. The tragedy of lost influence. Would you lift your hands, ask the Lord to help me. This story of Lot, and I'll try to get into this, but the story of Lot is a tragic story. And you know, there's no need of going into the history of it because you know it. You all of your scholars know this story. I related this story, and I want to say the burden on my heart is in my ministry, and what's at stake, Brother Kelsey, in my ministry. You know, I'm looking for God to help me. You know, to avoid this terrible tragedy.
Yes.
Amen. That we see here. See Lot. Lot, of course, we know. When he went into Sodom, amen, he looked at Sodom. He pitched towards Sodom. He lives in Sodom. And he lost at this. He's getting ready to lose everything. He lost his houses. He lost his wealth. He lost his herds. He lost it all. But to me, the most tragic thing that he lost was his influence on those that knew him best. Amen. And I don't know of anything. And you know, I don't want to take this verse farther than the Lord impresses me to. Amen. But I looked at Lot's life and I looked at these words, and where it says, his words seemed, the Bible said, but he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-laws. Amen. Now that, brother and sister, is not the reaction that we're wanting to see out of our congregations. Amen. We don't need our congregations. I don't need my congregation to feel like my words and my warning, amen, and my mandated message is nothing but mere jesting and mocking. Amen. After all these years, amen, I hate to die and them sing on the hill for me, amen, and my ministry seems like a joke to them. Are you listening to me? Oh yeah. Amen. So I begged the Lord. I said, Lord, in the final chapter, amen, of my ministry, amen, when I sit down, amen, across the table or across the pulpit or across the desk from those I love the dearest, and for me, what a tragedy it'd be for me to realize, amen, that they're stumbling on the way, amen, of life, because they know me too good. Amen. He seems as one that mocked. Are you understand my sermon? This will be over in a little bit. I hope you're getting this. The New Testament said that Lot was righteous in his ideals and in his convictions. But how many knows if we're not careful, brethren, amen, our lives will be so far away from our convictions that nobody has any faith in us. This is terrible, isn't it? That's what happened to Lot. Amen. They looked at him as one that jested because they knew him. That's what the problem. Amen. Does it grieve you, preachers? Now listen to me. I'm going to try to preach this, and Brother Gentry will, amen, ask the Lord to help me while I take a drink of water, will you, huh? I can't think of a more horrible tragedy. Have you ever had a dream, bad dream, where in the dream you were doing something that was against your convictions? Maybe I'm the only one that eats pizza late at night, huh? Anybody ever had a dream to where you were compromised and the pressure was on? And in that dream, you were so under such stress because someone had seen you or somebody noted. Anybody ever been there? And then you woke up. What a feeling is that? When you wake up and realize it was only a dream. So I hope my sermon tonight will only be a bad dream. That you'll wake up in a minute and say, thank God, I haven't done those things. Amen. I want you, how many's with me here? Are you with me? Amen. His words seem as one that mocketh. We cannot afford. Amen. I said, we cannot afford. You know, the Bible said the righteous falling down before the wicked is like a troubled fountain and a corrupt spring. Amen. How many knows what that means? Amen. You know, brothers and sisters, I hope you're with me. How many's with me here this morning? Amen. But God, not only is it our reputation, amen. Not only was it Lot's reputation. Oh, they knew him. They knew his idea. And yes, he was vexed, amen, with the evil, wicked conversation. But isn't it something how we can get so vexed at somebody else's sin and be indifferent to our own laxness and our own coldness and our own worldly leanings? I wish somebody would say, amen. I want to preach to us. Amen. We don't live in this world by ourselves. They are looking at you as an example, and your reputation is not all that's at stake, but God's reputation is on the line also. I know he's supposed to be a preacher, but I don't know. You ever hear that one? Do you know why Lot was living in Sodom? Because Sodom was living in Lot. You don't think those that live closest to me, amen, you don't think that it'd be the worst day of my life to look into the eyes of one of my sons or daughters or loved ones and realize that they can't get a grip on this because they know their daddy too good. Are you with me? You ain't getting this, are you? Amen. You say, that's really not the factor. Amen. And it is not always. And I know people reject the gospel. Amen. But what God burdened me with, amen, was my own conduct. Amen. And my own character. Not the weight I carry in the religious realm. Amen. Not the power of my word and my authority and position. Those things are not eternal. Amen. But what I worry about, amen, is the character of Randy Webb. Amen. That those that know me best are looking and watching. And I don't want to put a stumbling block in their path. What a horrible tragedy when Lot went to those that knew him best. Now, did he have a message?
Yes, he did.
Did he have a mandate from heaven?
Sure.
Did he believe it?
Yeah.
Was he sincere?
Yes,
did he care about them?
Yes.
All of those things are check, 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 check. But his message failed. And it failed because they knew him and knew his life and knew that he really loved Sodom.
Lift your hands right here and ask God to anoint me to preach to you.
Not only was the reputation, and you know what? Everybody knows what a reputation is.
And you know, you can keep your reputation by being crafty, not letting anyone know. Amen. Not making sure you clear everything, making sure nobody gets yourself. Making sure those that know are sworn to, so your reputation is intact, but your soul is in jeopardy. It's not just our reputation and the name of God being blasphemed, but in this city of Sodom, there were souls at stake. Ooh, come on now. I just about feel like getting down here, but it's a long walk. Amen. But I want to preach to us. Amen. I'll tell you, I've had those dreams, Brother Ryan. Amen. And I'll tell you, I was awake in this dream, and the Lord shook my soul. Amen. And put the fear of God in me. Amen. You hear me? Our character, amen, is what God sees when nobody else sees. And I'll tell you something else. Those that you live with and pastor, amen, and work with, what do they say about you? Oh, he's a preacher, but he sure has a hot temper. He's a preacher, but he's a little shady on the deal. Oh, he's a preacher, amen, but he's a little flirty in the women. Are you listening to me? Amen. What is hindering our message? Amen. That it seems as a joke when we try to minister to those we love. I love to preach good for you. I don't want to miss it. I want you to make sense. I want you to love me. I want to be accepted. But I have got to please God first and foremost. You with me? Am I telling you the truth? And I humbly, I say that I'm preaching this in first person. This is the warning I got from the Lord. Huh? You remember the old preacher that cursed the altar there? God said, don't go back the same way. He was talked to by a smooth operator. And he disobeyed God. Hear me, hear me, hear me, hear me now. And the lion stands over the man of God. Woo! And the report went down the city, the old man of God, lying in the road, and the lion over him. Is that how you want to end your life? Is that how you want your ministry to end? With the lion? Amen. Over your ministry. Is that how Randy Webb wants to leave this world? Nobody having any confidence in him. Amen. Because of his love for Sodom, his leaning toward the bad city. Amen. His separation from the altar. We get so big in our pastorates and in our ministries that we think those little holiness standards and that devotion and that prayer time and that humility don't mean anything. But can I tell you, when you lose your humility and your fear of God, amen, you've lost your ministry. Oh, lift your hands. I'm gonna give it 10 more minutes here. Here's what happens. How many's with me this morning? Here's what happens. We go along fine. Lot sat in the gate. You know what I think about that? Big deal. He loved that.
He was there because he was prosperous. Huh? He liked that. I'm going to tell you something. You may find favor with the world with all your talent and your smooth way of doing things. You know what I say about that?
Yeah. Yeah.
I won't go a little further. If we lose that touch of God in our soul. Am I right? Come on now, preachers. Help me preach a little bit. I know it's pitiful. Pray for me. God bless you. Huh? The worst tragedy, Brother Kelsey, I could think for you, buddy, is for some unseen reason when you try to deal with your children about the Lord. That's for some horrible nightmare. You put a stumbling block. You say, preacher, you preach pretty serious here to us. I want to ask us a question, and here I've got an answer for you. Is there any recovery when we drift away from holiness, when we get indifferent, when we put that stumbling block? Is there any recovery? You know what the answer is? I'm going to preach to somebody right here. Yes, by the grace of God. You say, preacher, hear me now. I want to ask this crowd, all you preachers, has there ever been a recovery in your life? Come on now. I'm not talking about the horrendous things that you're crossing your mind necessarily, but I'm talking about this indifference here. Is there a reverse? Do you think God ever dealt with Lot about his affection for this wicked city? You think God ever dealt with him about it? You think there was ever something put in his way, amen, to cause him to try to turn him back and turn his direction? Oh, sure. Amen. God is a master of methods for us to find our way back to him and back to the right way. Are you listening with me? Amen. Come on now. I want to ask us, how about us in our ministry? Have we got off course? Have we got in the doldrums? Amen. Have we fell in love with the world? Have we fell in love with the system and the culture? Are you listening to me? Amen. I know God's calling you back. I know God's wanting you broken. I know God, amen, is wanting to give you another chance, amen, to come back to holiness. But I want to tell you this, that it won't be an easy road. Did you hear me? First thing you'll have to do is deal with God. And you'll have to be honest with him. And you'll have to confess to him. I've not been right. Amen. I've been too loose. I've been too hard. I've been too lax. I've been too indifferent. Amen. And I'm sorry. And I confess. And I repent. And he's none of them of a broken and contrite spirit. Amen. That's your first step. Amen. Come on now. It's to mend things with God. And to mend, amen, your heart by confessing, amen, your life to God. I'm preaching to somebody in here. Listen to me. Almost done. If you put a roadblock in someone's path, you may have to remove it with your own hands. Am I right or not? Hey, you've done bad in front of that sinner man. You've done bad in front of your wife or husband or your children. You've showed yourself a hypocrite, and they know it. Are you listening to me? You need to go to them, and you need to go with your own hands. And that thing you put in their path,
Amen. You take it out by the grace of God. Are you helping me preach? Amen. By the grace of God. I'm not doing any good this morning. I'm trying to preach my heart to you. Amen. It is a warning that God has given me. And I want to give a warning to you this morning. Amen. Your character and your integrity and your position and intimacy with God. Amen. Is what matters the most. Am I right? Getting a little close, somebody in here. And I love you. I'm going to tell you, I love you. And I told you, I'm preaching this to Randy Webb, first person here today. When you deal with those others in that final solitude, now listen to me, that final dealing, you need to deal with yourself. You're so disappointed in yourself. Because you let yourself down. You've let God down. And you've let those. And now you're waking up. And you're hoping it's only a dream. Are you with me? How many's with me? I want you to think about it this morning. I want you to spend some time thinking about it. What if you get under that pressure and that crisis like Lot. And you rush to your people. And they look at you. As though you're mocking. Would that be the greatest tragedy?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Would it?
Yes, sir.
Go to yourself. I want everybody in here. I'm about done. If I preach long enough, time's about right. I want everybody to turn with me. 1 Corinthians. All the preachers. I'm going to read a verse to you, then I want you to read it back to me, okay? I'm not trying to be smart. I preach this humbly as I know how. Are you with me? Verse 27. 9th chapter, 1 Corinthians. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Got it? How many's got the verse? I want you to read it to me. I want you preachers to read it to me. Ready? But I keep under my body. Would you stand with me? Keep your Bibles. If you're here this morning, I've done this. If you're here this morning, I want you to get a hold of yourself. And I know you already have, but if you're here and this meeting has caught you in a weakened stage, I want you to make a resolve in your heart today by God's grace and by the power of the Holy Ghost. Resolve to be God's preacher for the rest of my life. And how many knows God's got a method of helping you do that? Amen. For all, Jesus said, for all, amen, are salted with fire. How many knows God could send that Holy Ghost a sanctifying fire and like a coal from the altars purge our lips and let our words, our speech be seasoned with salt and with grace. This is his business here. Am I right?
Amen. I want you to read that one more time with me. Got your Bible? I want you to read it one more time. Amen. Go ahead. Start us out. God bless you.
As we're standing, we want to lift our hands. I think every one of us he preached to today. Lord, don't let me lose my influence. That's all we need to ask. Every once, Lord, don't let me lose my influence. And we lose that, we've lost everything, and that's got everything to do with character, doesn't it, Brother Ralston? We lose that, we lose everything. Don't let us lose our influence, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, touch our hearts. Touch our hearts.